guest today, I am joined by senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Joe Vardy. Jordan, Joe, what's going on?
You know, just like everybody else, just trying to stay inside and stay healthy.
Yeah, this situation is crazy right now. Coronavirus has everyone as hostage right now, just not the NBA. It's crazy right now. All the sports leagues are shut down. I've never been through anything like this before in my life.
I don't think anybody has, really.
This is crazy. It's so crazy. So, how are you getting by these days? A lot of writing?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, depending on what part of the year we are in with my current job at The Athletic, I could have weeks like this where I'm home most of the time and working the phones or trying to think of something like a broader story to do. And I've been doing that since the quarantine started. And so from that perspective, I mean, I'm staying busy and my workflow is not a ton different than it would be at some other point in the year. It's just when you think of what's supposed to be going on right now with the playoffs right around the corner and everything, you know, I should be gone most days out of the week, and obviously that's different.
Yes, it's trying to drive out the force right now. We'll get there eventually. Tell us about your career. How long have you been at the Athletic?
So I've been at The Athletic for two seasons now, and before that I covered the Cavs for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com here in Cleveland during the entirety of LeBron's second stint here, so four years, four finals. And then the further back you go is when things start to get weird. I spent 4 years before that at the Columbus Dispatch covering politics and government.
Okay.
And then the 2 years prior to that at the Toledo Blade doing some similar work. And that's pretty much where I had been for nearly 6 years, doing all kinds of stuff, anywhere from local government to Michigan football and Tigers baseball. I worked in several departments at the Blade. So, you know, I just got a kind of a unique career path with sports at the highest level and politics at the highest level, and then every kind of local beat you can imagine.
Yeah. So you had the pleasure of covering LeBron James. I know that's special. I'm trying to get an interview with him forever, for the longest. It happened eventually.
Good luck.
Got to make it happen. So 2016. Well, first off, how was it covering LeBron James? Because I know when he comes onto the court, everyone just flocks to him. Like, what was the atmosphere when he came back to Cleveland? What was that like?
Well, I mean, it was one of the great, it was probably one of the great American sports stories ever, when you consider just everything involved about having been born here in Akron and grown up here and then being drafted by the Cavs and everything that went into his first seven seasons in Cleveland.
Right.
And then he leaves the way he left and kind of goes away and comes back, you know, a much different version of himself, having won multiple championships. And so he comes back and the euphoria in the city was unmatched. And then to have made it to the finals in year one and fallen short because of injury, and then to having finished it off in year two. You know, I mean, I think I called it the day of the championship parade here. I spent the entire 4 hours walking directly behind his car that he and Savannah were riding on. And I chronicled the whole parade from that vantage point. And I think the headline of the story was the end of the greatest, like one of the greatest American sports stories or something like that. That's really what it felt like.
Right.
At the time, and you know, obviously it didn't end that way, and it was kind of set up to never have that kind of ending, but in those days, in those times, I mean, to be living in and from Cleveland was, you know, what, like you'd always say, like, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. 2016, when you brought home the title to Cleveland, do you think that might be his last championship if this season doesn't continue? Because this seemed like the Lakers were on a roll. This might be their best shot because over in the East, we have Kyrie and Kevin Durant not on the roster right now. And they come back healthy, Nets are going to be automatic championship contender. Do you think besides the Clippers, this might be the Lakers' best chance for LeBron?
Well, I don't
really
know.
Really can't count him out. I mean, what do you think it might
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like, who's to say that the Lakers couldn't make an upgrade next season? I mean, Anthony Davis has been great, and LeBron is absolutely a top five NBA player, if not top three. And I just don't see in any one year to the next that there's going to be that significant of a drop-off. So today they have the best record in the NBA. If they don't get to come back, I can't say that they wouldn't be nearly as good as good or slightly better next year just because of what Anthony Davis may do and who else may come and play with them. And at the same time, I have been saying that I did not think that the Lakers would actually reach the finals this year, that I just thought the Clippers were top to bottom, the better team, better equipped for the playoffs. So I disagree with that. I disagree with Jared Dudley. I'm not sure this was his last best chance. Not only because of what I think positively lays ahead for them in the future, but also some very, very real hurdles that await them in the conference finals if we get to do that this summer.
Yeah, very true. Because like you said, the Clippers are deep. They're deep the same in the league. Top to bottom. Now, Lou Williams coming off the bench. He can put up 25 in any moment. I mean, you have the defense of Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. It's crazy. The Clippers are loaded.
Yeah, they really are. I just think Kawhi Leonard is, he's probably the best player now in the league. You'd think Kawhi and Giannis and LeBron are all up there. But I just think when the game really matters the most, as good as LeBron is in those situations, and he is, but the Clippers are a really deep team, and Kawhi showed last year how good he is in those situations. So, tough. Very tough.
The current state of the Cavs, they just picked up Colin Sexton, who's trying to make his mark immediately. How do you see him, Kevin Love, and Andre Drummond, who they brought over from Detroit, how do you think that's going to work out in the future?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin spent the majority of this year not wanting to be here in Cleveland. And so it's hard. He's just kind of gotten over that, and then we'll see what happens if there's a trade market for him in the summer.
Right.
I think it's just still too hard to say. I like Colin Sexton. I understand his flaws. I don't think he's ever been put in a very good situation in Cleveland. I think he's had very, very, very hard from just the ridiculous amount of turnover among coaches to just constant struggles in the locker room.
Right.
And then also just having to play alongside a rookie this year who's the same player as him, basically, in Darius Garland. And then Jetty Osman on the other side of him on the wing. I mean, that's just that's a hard way to start as a young guard in this league. So I like Colin. I think he has a good future in the NBA.
Right.
I don't think, it's hard to imagine Andre Drummond going elsewhere just because of that money.
Yeah.
And then especially just with what's coming with the salary cap because of this pandemic and everything, he could really be taking a bath monetarily if he somehow opted out of his next last year in Cleveland. So Drummond, Kevin Love, Sexton, whatever. It's an interesting team, I guess, to say the least. And JB Bickerstaff is there, and so they just what they want is to not be god awful, which is what they've been for 2 years. They don't want to do that anymore. They want to be competitive while they kind of change things, and they know that'll take years, but to get where they want to go ultimately. But in the meantime, it doesn't have to be this miserable, and I think that was why they tried Drummond, just to see if they can make themselves a better team while they figure the rest of this out.
Right. Yeah, I think they're going to get it eventually. We all know the NBA is fan-based, fan-driven. The league tried to do some things like by offering league pass for a while for the fans to keep them intrigued with the league. How else do you think the league can try and rebound from this situation once we're able to start basketball again with really everything?
Well, so you know, in Zoom chat rooms spread out all over the greater New York area and probably most of the United States, as they bring in economists and they bring in public health experts,
right,
to figure out how to come back right away. You know, there's the cliche about never letting a disaster go to waste. There's always opportunity there. And so, you know, there is a chance to change some things here for the NBA.
Yeah.
They can change when they play. They can change how many games during the regular season that they play. They can make the regular season more interesting. And they can just kind of get – they just need to, I think, get their house in order a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a great game. Their stars are more marketable individually by far than any other sport that we have. It's not even close. But then when we start talking about what's happening on the floor, we don't talk about that enough. And it's because we've been conditioned by the LeBrons of the world to understand that the regular season just doesn't matter all that much.
Right.
And that's bad. That's bad. And so we need to figure out how to address that. I am hopeful that while they're figuring out how to come back and play this year or not, that they're also trying to address some of those problems.
Yeah, we all hope it gets it back together because basketball is next, but we all know for a bigger reason why they're holding off on everything. Adam Silver recently came out and made a statement about the league, and he said that he doesn't think he'll be able to make a decision until next month, which is understandable. I mean, starting the NBA back up without fans is a good idea, because right now you can't just jump back in with all these people like side by side with each other, and social distancing hasn't gone away yet.
That's right. That's definitely the first thing, is even if you trying to figure out a scenario to finish the season without fans in the stands, which is just the way it's going to be, there's still a whole bunch of challenges with that. And we don't have enough testing yet to figure this out. We don't know which drugs can mitigate the side effects or the symptoms of the virus. And then there's the issue of how to do basically how to do this logistically, so you're not spreading the disease beyond a very tight NBA community. So that's the other conversation going on in these Zoom chat rooms all over the country, is how to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of incentive to continue this season, because like some teams, like we spoke on the Lakers, also the Clippers, but we had a situation with Paul George and Kawhi where they really set up for 2 years. And if this year go to waste, they didn't have like one shot next year at a full season, and they might not win it next year. So there's incentive all over the board for not just those two teams to try and get the season. It continues.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about teams that have made it this far, right? You know,
right.
The Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks. That would be a team certainly that would be pushing to do this. And then, So of course, for their reasons that they want to do this, you know, monetarily, obviously with TV contracts still up in the air, you know, there's incentive for everybody to try to figure this out, and play. But there's also, like, if you're a team like the Cavs, say, or another bottom feeding team, I mean, you've kind of endured enough this year, and it would be great to just kind of get to the draft and let everybody heal up. And so that's part of it too, is okay, what makes the most sense about finishing an entire season? And so for a while, having to quarantine all 30 teams,
yeah,
just kind of picking a playoff now and going with it, you know, I mean, there's a lot of discussion there to be had.
Yeah, we're all used to this, NBA starting in like November, around October, November. That December start that they're talking about possibly doing, that would be weird, but I mean, it would be like toward the end of the football season, because on the Super Bowl is in January, and the NBA would have basically its own season besides, because the baseball ends in October. I mean, it might be, and there's like a give and take with that, because the players have to get used to it, and then that would run into team USA basketball, where the top players wouldn't be able to go to the Olympics because they're in the middle of a season. So yeah. I think that's a give and take. What do you think about the moving the season to December?
Yeah, I mean, so that's a huge thing. A couple things there is if you move the season like that, their biggest obstacle always is the NFL.
Yeah.
And so, right, you kind of get out of the way of that. The last football game is usually February 3rd-ish. That's when the Super Bowl typically is. And so
right. You'd
be talking roughly a month into the NBA season. That's fine. That's certainly fine to kind of get through that. You know, your first day of the year would be on a huge ratings day, Christmas Day. That's good. And then, you know, just playing more, having more of your games on television when baseball is the thing you're competing with, they're just not that worried about baseball. And so that's good. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of having NBA seasons during the summer, but I mean, that's just because I'm used to it one way and I work in the league.
Right.
Probably could get used to it that way.
Who's on the draft board for the Cavs that there aren't right now that you heard of?
You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not really sure. You know, they're looking at this guy from Israel. I think he would be the first Israeli-born first-round draft pick. His name even escapes me.
Okay.
You know, the draft is not something that that I'm well-spoken in, to be honest with you.
And
certainly with the Cavs, don't know. Like, I haven't spent as much time with them this year. But just in reading the various the fine work of colleagues who do spend every day with them now, that's a name that keeps coming up.
Yeah. Okay. One good memorable news we've gotten is Michael Jordan documentary coming out, The Last Dance. We all need something right now. This is it. I'm glad they moved it up.
Yeah, they did. You know what? That'll give me a chance to say. Coming out right before that documentary airs on The Athletic is something I've been working on for months,
right.
In which I've gone to people throughout Michael Jordan's life who have known him the best and asked them a very specific question about Michael. And we share the answers in a really good piece coming out in The Athletic. So make sure everybody checks that out.
Definitely will. Cool. Joe, thank you for your time, man. I enjoyed it. I'll do this again when you're available. Thanks for joining me on the NBA panel. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Yes, that was Joe Varden, senior injury writer for The Athletic. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.